You're listening to Transponder, a podcast about two transitioning adults after 2 years of transition, and they talk about transition and other people's transitions. Cool. Alright, okay, alright, here we go. Harley, I'm Regina, stealing hearts like a criminal. Super sexy transitors.
They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog.
Thank God the theme song isn't that long.
Go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go.
Hello, America, and welcome again to This Trans American Life. We, as always, are your hosts, Mila and Jana Glass. Each week, we bring you stories based on a theme. This week's theme, Left Out. In Act 1, Unity, what happens when 300 LGBT organizations stand together behind a unifying goal, only to have one switch sides at the last second.
Tonight, what's going on here on the sidewalk?
Well, what's going on here on the sidewalk is a celebration of the people who are left out of the advocacy that HRC is doing.
United End Up was a dream, one that LGBT communities fought long and hard to get into Congress. Unity was the message, a united community working for the same goals and rights together. But when it came to the vote, the 300 organizations that stood together in solidarity found themselves short one very important organization. An ENDA was passed without inclusion of the most marginalized group, transgender individuals.
May I ask you some questions about what's going on across the street? What do you think is going on?
We have no idea.
Any
guesses?
HRC? I have no idea. What is it?
So, I can tell you what's going on here.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, what's going on is inside this building right here behind us is the Westin St. Francis Hotel, where HRC, which is the Human Rights Campaign, is having their San Francisco Gala fundraiser.
Frustrated and feeling left behind, grassroots organizations began organizing formal protests of events to let people know that they didn't appreciate the lack of unity.
July 26, 2008, a major fundraiser dinner was scheduled, and grassroots organizations decided to have a street party and protest across the street. It was called the San Francisco Left Out Party.
We sent roving reporter Karen Savage to report on the events.
Oh, okay. I'm Karen Savage with trans-ponder.com.
Hi, Karen.
And the reason that I got picked you out of the crowd is I have to ask you, why do you have a pencil-thin mustache scrawled on your upper lip? It is just like, it's an attention grabber.
Well, the whole point is that gender is fluid, that we tend to think of it as being so either or in our society, and it's not. That's just a social construct, if you will, and so that's just kind of to make a point of that.
And a fun one at that. So you are?
Melinda Zach.
And what brings you out here?
Well, the Human Rights Campaign is having their annual fundraising gala at the hotel that we're in front of here. And the Human Rights Campaign has failed in its mission, in its stated mission, to promote equal rights for all people of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, etc. movement. They've specifically failed the transgender segment of the population in being one of the very, very few groups to support the current version of ENDA, which is the Employee Non-Discrimination Act, which in and of itself is discriminatory in that it does not include transgender people.
The event was comprised of an eclectic collection of individuals from all walks of life and all identities.
Hey, how are you?
What do you feel HRC should be doing for the transgenders right now?
Well, I think they need to stand up for a fully inclusive ENDA. I don't think it's right to take little baby steps or incremental steps. I don't think it's, I just think it's wrong on its face.
So if they insist on taking baby steps, is there anything that they can do to say, I'm sorry, we are making it up for to you right now? You know, we're going to take the baby steps, but we are going to take care of the transgender community. What should they do?
I don't know that you can do that. I don't know of a way to do that. I don't know of a way to say, well, first we'll get rights for those of us who can pass, and then we'll talk about rights for the rest of you, for those of you who are the most marginalized segment of the population, who are among the most chronically underemployed, who are among those who are, you know, most represented in the, you know, the poorest segment of our population.
LGBT, we are one community. LGBT, we are one community.
Yeah.
My name's Robert Holland. I'm the co-chair of SF Pride at Work. And we're going to start pretty quickly a picket line in front. That's why you all have the picket signs. And then we're going to start flyering in front. But first, I want to just introduce you to someone with giving him an award right now. And that's City Attorney Dennis Herrera. Can everybody give the City Attorney a big hand? City Attorney Dennis Herrera is what we call a human rights hero. A human rights hero because not only does he get that marriage equality is important, which it is, and he took it all the way to the state Supreme Court and won. Yeah! Woo! But he understands that it's important to support transgender people and gender variant people, and that's why he's here today, and that's why he's signing on to the boycott of the HRC event today. So I want to give it up to one of my big human rights heroes, City Attorney Dennis Herrera.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. You know, I think that Robert kind of summed it up. While I am incredibly proud of at least the part that I played in bringing about a marriage equality victory, there's something that you can't forget that came along with that. And that was that it was the function of bringing together a coalition and everybody recognizing that it was about a lot of things. It was about commitment, love, equality, but most importantly, it was about justice and a recognition that everybody needs to work together to lift all boats and you cannot leave anybody behind. And while we are incredibly proud of the victory that we received on marriage equality, we also recognize that that's not the end of it. We have a marriage equality battle that we're going to be fighting in November, but the issue is not only about marriage equality, because discrimination exists in a hell of a lot of forms, and it will continue to exist unless we all work together to make sure that we are protecting each other. And I had the great good fortune of first getting to know Robert and Teresa Sparks, who I don't know if Teresa's here yet, back when we were fighting to get protocols to make sure that the San Francisco Police Department, when I was president of the police commission, fought to protect transgender people. And it was something that we're incredibly proud of. But that was only part of the battle. And here we are, years later, fighting it on an even broader scale. And there's a recognition that we have to fight for an all-inclusive ENDA. We cannot leave anybody behind, because if someone gets left behind, they're going to be forgotten. And we can't forget anybody. And that's why I'm proud to join with all of you in supporting an all-inclusive ENDA to send the message to everybody, both in Washington, in that hotel, and elsewhere, that we will not stop the battle and that we will fight together to make sure that no one is left behind when it comes to protecting civil rights and a protection from discrimination for everybody. And that's what we need to focus on, whether you're straight like me or lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, that we are... Tom didn't know I was straight. But we are all fighting together, and we're all in this together, and that's how we're going to make sure that we have protection for everybody across this country. So thanks so much for being here, and I'm happy to be with you.
Yeah.
Bowie Mark?
Huh?
Can I interview Bowie
Mark?
Sure. And what's your, do you have any sort of organizing role here, or are you just here as a private person?
I'm just here to raise a ruckus.
Uh-huh. So how do you think the ruckus is being raised so far?
I think we're getting lots of attention. You know, we'll see how far that attention, you know, spreads out to the wider public.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we're enough tourists are taking pictures of us, but you know,
yeah.
What you know, they won't really understand it. You know, they just threw us completely under the wagon on ENDA, and you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't do one thing for us and then turn around and stab us in the back.
Do you feel that there's anything else that they should do to atone for what they did?
Oh, a public apology. You know, Joe Salmonese needs to come clean on that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say, hey, you know, we took a politically expedient course,
mm-hmm.
and it was the wrong thing to do.
I've been asking two questions generally. We all understand why we're here and what happened with HRC, that they basically threw the transgender, the queer community under the bus. You know,
yeah.
if you're not straight looking, straight acting, sorry.
If you're not total assimilationist, yeah, you're
yeah.
screwed.
So the first question is, if HRC insists on pursuing this incrementalist path that they say is the right way to do it, can you suggest anything that they should do to make it up to the transgender community right now while they pursue incremental baby steps?
Wow. I mean, you know, anything at that point, anything that they toss down at us is really, it's chicken feed. It's nothing. Like, if they're leaving us behind, if they leave us, you know, a couple cookies to chew on, that's basically meaningless. So I really don't know what they could do if they were actually, if the only thing I can think of that would really mean something mm-hmm. is to renounce what they're doing now and fight for a trans-inclusive ENDA. Anything short of that, I think, would just be not worth anything.
Jameson Green, a former HRC board member who quit over the lack of support for inclusive ENDA, came to show his support for the Left Out Party.
Explain to them why they should include trans people in their agenda. And at the end of that meeting, the board voted to only support legislation that was trans inclusive from that moment on. They took that vote and they were very excited. And they really put some money into providing training materials about trans people, in building particularly the workplace project that they support to include awareness for trans people in the workplace. A huge need of ours and something very important leading up to our inclusion in ENDA. I joined the business council, and so did Donna Rose. Donna Rose and I joined, and we tried to make a difference with respect to how trans people are treated in the workplace. And we were there in Washington, D.C. when that ENDA crap happened last September and October and November. And that whole time in between, before the time that they actually went to Congress with us stripped out of the bill, we kept telling them, you can't do this, you mustn't do this. And in fact, let me make it absolutely clear, the entire business council advised the board not to exclude trans people from ENDA. And the board went ahead and gave Joe Salmonese permission to do what he thought he needed to do. And what he needed to do was play in Barney Frank's waiting pool.
So what was it that HRC said that got everyone so riled up? Here's a recording from Southern Comfort by the president of HRC, Joe Salmonese, just a few weeks before the vote on ENDA.
But always being clear that we absolutely do not support and in fact oppose any legislation that is not absolutely inclusive. And we have sent that message loud and clear to the Hill.
But when it came to a vote, Barney Frank, with HRC's blessing, decided to pull transgender support from the bill. Our roving reporter was able to get an interview with a member of HRC to see what they think of the protests and how they view our community.
First thing, may I get your name?
That's Richard Wall.
And can you spell your last name so we get it right?
W-A-H-L.
Okay. A kind of a non-standard spelling there. So you're here, you are an HRC member, as you so...
I'm on the dinner committee.
Okay, you are on the dinner committee. Before I explain it to you, what did you think was going on over here?
Well, I realized that there was a concern with the disenfranchisement of part of the family.
There was that issue back in the fall of 2007 where it was felt that it was politically expedient to go with a... sexual orientation only, ENDA.
Yeah, did we forget about that? Here's what he had to say.
Before we had domestic partnerships, we had nothing, and now we have marriage. So I believe it's important that we can make gains along the way that improve the quality of life for the entire family, and yet not try to disenfranchise those who are not readily understood by any of the families.
Not understood by any of the family? Did I hear that right? Let's listen to that again.
Those who are not readily understood by any of the families.
Wait, isn't it your job to educate people about the LGBT issues?
So I grew up a man, I'm a man, and that's the way I think.
Yeah.
To grow up as a man and believe I'm a woman, I don't understand that because I don't have that experience. And I think the majority of the community at large doesn't understand that.
Uh-huh.
They're just now realizing what it means to be gay or lesbian or bisexual and accepting them in the workplace.
Okay.
So going back 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, being gay would get you fired. Now that is not such a prevalent status within most of America, but being transgendered obviously has its challenges.
So, if I'm hearing this correctly, being gay isn't an issue, but being trans is. And we don't get to be protected?
So I think that we've all of us, regardless if we're lesbian or gay or bi or transgendered, have had to play some type of an actorship within our span of life. And if that's what you need to do initially in order to be recognized as a full-fledged, authenticated human being, in order to be recognized, then that's what you got to do. I did it, many others have done it, and I'm sure you're doing it yourself.
That's the message. Buck up, act straight, keep your head down, and don't cause trouble.
What do you personally feel the transgenders need to do to further their aims?
Well, I believe as a gay man living in a straight world that's slowly changing to become more inclusive of a diversified biological mammal community, that they need to communicate better to the LGB community to understand them more, to understand the challenges, the pains, the anger, all of the issues that they're going through.
Biological mammal community? Does that include the platypus? They do lay eggs, and the rest of the families don't seem to understand them.
Well, I thank you very much for that. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Peace.
Can I have you say your name, spell your last name, because I know that there's two E's in it.
That's right, only two E's. Yeah. Jameson Green, G-R-E-E-N.
And your role in this protest here, the Left Out Party, what is your role? What brought you here?
Well, what brought me here is that I've been fighting for trans inclusion in ENDA for, since whenever. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I said, I walked into HRC's offices, had an appointment with Elizabeth Birch, who was then the president or the executive director in 1995. And 1995 was my first time approaching them saying, you need to change ENDA. And I've been fighting that battle ever since. I thought we had it licked in 2004 when the board voted to never support a bill that wasn't trans inclusive. And when they caved in the fall of 2007, I was crushed, absolutely crushed. And at that point, Donna Rose and I left the business council because we couldn't with full integrity, continue to support the organization. I have to say that I think there are some really wonderful people working inside HRC. I think there are people who understand that trans people need to be allied with LGBT people. I think that there are people in there who have done some fabulous work on our behalf and with us to make things happen, to change things for gender variant people. And they need to do a lot more to make up for what they did in the fall of 2007.
I've been asking people two questions here. One is, and these are questions that are to provoke thought, get people thinking, and maybe get them to voice their deep feelings. The first question is, if HRC were to decide to continue to pursue the policy of incrementalism, what should HRC do for the trans community to make it up to us for leaving us behind? Is there anything, any sort of social programs, money spent to help the trans community?
They could do a lot with money. This community needs money. And if they wanted to help to build an organization that would actually do some of the work that they say we need to do, we've been out there trying to do that work. It's just that they are not helping to open the doors, which doesn't cost them anything. So I'm really disappointed with that. But if they wanted to put their money where their mouth is, they could give money to the National Center for Transgender Equality. They could give money to any number of statewide organizations that are across this country that are helping to develop trans-specific policies. They could sponsor events that would bring trans people in front of the people who need to hear about trans issues. They could get imaginative and do all kinds of things, and I'm disappointed that they're not.
If HRC were to somehow miraculously turn around and go, you know, we were wrong in the fall of 2007, we were totally wrong, and from henceforth supported only an inclusive ENDA, what else do you feel they should do to atone for what they did back in the fall of 2007?
Well, first of all, they need to make a public apology, not just go around to a few select cities where there are concentrations of transgender leadership and apologize half-heartedly to the people in the room. But they need to make a public apology and let everyone, not just trans people, everyone know that they made a mistake and why they made the mistake and that they understand the mistake that they made and that they have learned enough never to do it again.
Okay. And that's my two questions. You're a veteran of this end of these things. Do you have any other talking points you'd like to lay on me?
Well, I would say, you know, I'm a frustrated activist in the sense that, you know, we've had this fight going on for many, 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 many years. And I get disappointed when people, you know, make overtures and are superficially nice about things, and then they jerk the rug out from under you and say, "Oh, we didn't really mean that." I'm not one to bash people, and like I said, you know, I think people make mistakes for reasons that they think are wise in the moment and they later come to regret. I know Elizabeth Birch is a strong ally of the trans community now. She came to understand why she should not have said no in 1995. And I respect her for that very much. We will continue to have to work with HRC on various things. So we cannot say, you know, I would never want to say down with HRC. HRC does some good work. But I say they've got to correct the mistake that they made. They've got to understand who we are. They've got to be able to look us in the eye and accept us. Because as long as they can't do that, they're not accepting themselves either.
So is there a way for HRC to support the trans community and still oppose an inclusive ENDA?
Could they provide help for those people who are marginalized, who don't, as you say, they don't pass, they can't get jobs, you know, can they do something to support, maybe even a work program? It's just something that's off the top of my head.
I suppose they could. I haven't really given it much thought, just because it seems like, you know, a little palliative for, you know, well, here, take this and go away, and then maybe later we'll get around to you. But you just, you know, you just take these crumbs.
I guess there is some education that needs to be done, and it sounds like some people need to self-educate.
Thank you for listening. This has been Mila and Jaina Glass. You've been listening to This Trans-American Life. Good night.
Good night.
Right. Hi, my name's Xander, and I was born female. I want to tell you a little something about my friends over at Transponder. It's a podcast. You should listen to it. Let me tell you a little bit about it and the people involved. Okay, here we go. Highly original. Stole my heart like a criminal. Really smart and strong. It's like an audio blog. Yeah, Mila and Jaina. There's Mila and Jaina. Mila and Jaina. Yo, Mila and Jaina. Mila and Jaina. Mila and Jaina. Mila and Jaina. Okay, alright. Yeah, I am Guitar Master. Yeah. Ha ha ha. That was like the stupidest thing I've ever done. Ever. Wow.
This program is a member of the TransFM Internet Broadcast Network. TransFM.org.
Thank you for listening to Transponder.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 320-323-1896. Brick Sandwiches.
Join the Yahoo group and get in on the discussion.
Or send us an email.
We are not lawyers, so no part of the show should be considered legal advice.
We are not doctors, so please consult yours before considering any medical procedure.
The opinions stated on Transponder are not necessarily that of our sponsors, broadcast partners, or other organizations.
Our opinions are just that. Opinions.
Music is graciously provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.